Guardian Unlimited.
Hello, I'm James Randerson, and this is the Guardian's Science Weekly Creationism Extra. We have for you edited highlights of a conference hosted by The Guardian that asks whether creationism and intelligent design have any place in the school curriculum. Most scientists say intelligent design just isn't science, but proponents say we should teach both sides of the argument and let the children decide. First, here's Dr. Richard Buggs of the pro-intelligent design group, Truth in Science.
In this week's issue of the journal Nature, there's a fascinating paper on a collection of corroded cogs which was found in 1901 on the floor of the Mediterranean in a Roman ship. And it's an ancient Grecian calendar. And a group of scientists have analysed this structure, and presupposing that it was designed for a function, they have worked out that it must have been a calendar, and that has enabled them to make educated guesses and reconstruct what the mechanism was. And that's a fascinating study. It tells us something new about how sophisticated ancient civilizations were, and it's worthy of the world's leading science journal. Now, why is it unscientific to carry out such a study on the natural world, to presuppose it was designed, and to carry out research on it with that in mind? That could lead to very rapid advances in scientific knowledge, if that assumption is true. Intelligent design is essentially an inference from specified or organised complexity that a guiding intelligence or mind must have been involved in the origin of a structure. We simply examine the scientific data and we make an inference to the best explanation. In that sense, it is a scientific inference based on scientific data and therefore has its place in science. Now, at this point, I'll say intelligent design is different to creationism. Creationism, as commonly defined, relies on biblical accounts of creation or similar accounts from religious traditions. And sometimes it involves a synthesis of the knowledge gained from revelation in that way and science, but it always includes some kind of religious text or authority. Intelligent design is different from creationism because it relies solely on the scientific data and solely on an inference from that data. It is our uniform experience that when we find organised complexity, that a mind is behind it. And intelligent design, in its controversial sense, is simply doing that for the organised complexity of the natural world. So on that basis, I hold that intelligent design has its place in science classes. And unless I'm very mistaken, I think Richard Dawkins agrees with me. In his latest book, he says this: "The presence or absence of a creative superintelligence is unequivocally a scientific question." Now, if he says that, I would be surprised if he says that intelligent design, as I've described it, does not have its place in a science lesson. Secondly, intelligent design should be included in science lessons. Just because it's a science doesn't mean it should be taught in science lessons, because science is vast and there's not time to teach everything in school. So why should we bother to include this theory? First of all, because it is the intuitive view of most children. Several studies have shown this, that most children instinctively think teleologically when they examine the natural world. And even Richard Dawkins himself is a case in point. In the Blind Watchmaker, he says this: "I myself flatly refused to believe Darwin's theory when I first heard about it as a child. Almost everybody throughout history, up to the second half of the 19th century, has firmly believed in the opposite, the conscious designer theory. Many people still do, perhaps because the true Darwinian explanation of our existence is still, remarkably, not a routine part of the curriculum of a general education." Now, what Richard Dawkins seems to be saying here is that most of us instinctively believe in intelligent design until we're taught about Darwinism, and that Darwinism is claimed to be a convincing explanation for specified complexity. Whether you agree with intelligent design or not, this is what many children believe, and so it's something that needs to be addressed. and I find it hard to see how a fervent Darwinist could disagree with what I'm saying there. Secondly, it should be included because the question of origins has huge moral, social, cultural, and spiritual implications. Throughout the curriculum, teachers are required to explore the moral, social, cultural, and spiritual implications of topics under study. And scientific education in particular should prepare students to be able to assess socio-scientific issues for themselves. And that's a real emphasis of the new GCSE specifications, which have just come into force this September. Now, all sides of the debate agree that origins have these implications. For example, to bring Richard Dawkins up again, he believes that if we were all fervent Darwinists like himself and followed the purposeless nature of Darwinism to its logical conclusion of atheism, then many terrorist atrocities would never have happened. On the other hand, a historian like Richard Weikart contends that there's a logical link between the ideas of Darwin and Hitler. So on both sides of the argument, everyone agrees that this is something which is important for human society and culture. Our ideas about origins inevitably influence our attitudes and our behaviour. So children deserve to be able to explore these issues thoroughly in science classes. As again, I'll repeat, intelligent design is not religion, but it does have spiritual implications in the same way as Darwinism does. So in conclusion, I think I've offered some very reasonable ideas about why intelligent design should be considered in science lessons. It's based purely on scientific evidence and logic. It's the intuitive view of most children. Theories of origins have broad socio-scientific implications. And in my mind, the only known alternative of Darwinism is unsatisfactory. It doesn't explain how organized complexity has arisen. Why is intelligent design so seldomly taught? Why is it never mentioned in textbooks? And why are certain groups seeking to suppress its teaching in science lessons? Is it simply because I'm correct? And that if an alternative, a scientific alternative to Darwinism was taught in science lessons, that far, far fewer children would come out of them believing in Darwinism? Is that why there's such strong feelings against it? I don't know. Perhaps that's something we can discuss.
That was Dr. Richard Buggs of Truth in Science. Now, Andrew Copson, who's responsible for education policy and resources at the British Humanist Association.
There's really no mass of biologists today who think that anything even resembling creationism or intelligent design is a plausible alternative to the origin of species by evolution. So why is creationism, intelligent design, an issue? Well, part of the explanation, as we heard earlier, is that the media really do love it. It's got a bit of religion, it's got a bit of science, we can laugh at Americans, we can shiver that something approaching an American approach might be making its way over here. It's entertaining. And we found this at the British Humanist Association. There are so many interesting things that we do, I can assure you. But the thing we get more calls about than anything else is creationism. The other explanation is that there are people who are attempting to make evolution an issue because they believe it to be false, and that most, if not all, of these people, believe it to be false, not for reasons of science, but because it's inconsistent with certain of their beliefs about the supernatural. And rather than give up their beliefs about the supernatural when faced with the evidence that contradicts them, they give up the evidence instead. But moving on to the teaching of controversial issues more generally, one of the favourite arguments, probably the prime argument of organisations that promote intelligent design, teach about intelligent design in schools, is let's teach the controversy, which is a good logo because it both implies there is a controversy, which there really may not be, and it manages at the same time to appeal to a sense of fair play that a lot of people really do find appealing superficially. Another way in which it's clever is that it appears to find a resonance, as we heard, in the national curriculum, where it is said that pupils should study how scientific controversies can arise from different ways of interpreting empirical evidence, for example, Darwin's theory of evolution. Teach the controversy. This is how proponents of ID and creationism advance their agenda. I'll go on in a moment to talk about the meaning of controversy and controversial issues in an educational context. But first, I just want to say that purely from a factual point of view, those who believe that this section of the national curriculum I've just read to you allows for the teaching of intelligent design or creationism are wrong. The DFES has responded on this matter for clarification, and their reply was unequivocal. The scientific controversy referred to in the programme of study is that arising from Darwin's rejection of existing scientific theories based on the evidence he had collected. An example of such a theory is inheritance of acquired characteristics supported, among others, by the French scientist Lamarck and based on the available scientific evidence at the time. Creationism cannot be used as an example of a scientific controversy, as it has no empirical evidence to support it and no underpinning scientific principles or explanations. Intelligent design is sometimes erroneously advanced as a scientific theory, but it has no underpinning scientific principles or explanations supporting it and is not accepted by the international scientific community. Well, I think so much for the national curriculum allowing the teaching of creationism ID. It doesn't, but let's come back to the notion of teaching of controversy. But is creationism, intelligent design, a controversial issue in this sense? To my mind, the only real reason one can have for labelling something as a controversial issue is that there are equally reasonable positions to be held on a question which make it the duty of an educator not to be directive in their teaching, but to present the range of views in a way that allows students to come to their own view. This, in fact, as I say, is the only legitimate reason for treating an issue as a controversial one, and so it's the only one that creationists and those who wish to see intelligent design taught could legitimately argue for. But as we know, and it is the case, and we've seen from Simon's presentation, there is, in fact, no substantial scientific support for creationism or intelligent design, and consequently, even on this one plausible ground, potentially plausible ground, for teaching evolution as a controversial issue, the argument falls down. Why do we teach children? Well, we do it to pass on knowledge, the knowledge that the generations have uncovered by the use of their reason, the examination of the world around them. We do it to develop in young people the ability to create meaning and purpose in their lives and find values to live by, choose between sometimes perhaps equivalent values. But we do it more than anything to equip young people with the skills to produce knowledge about the world for themselves. I think we're failing them if we allow what is counter-educational, which is, to my mind, the agenda of those who seek to have creationism or intelligent design, or whatever else they call it next time, represent, ever to gain a foothold in schools. I think it's a sad fact that there are schools in Britain today where children are taught that evolution is wrong and creationism is right, mainly independent schools that we can't regulate. But I hope in those schools that we can regulate that this will never be the case.
That was Andrew Copson of the British Humanist Association. I'm James Randerson, and you've been listening to The Guardian's Science Weekly Creationism Extra. For more lively discussion of the week's most important science and technology stories, look out for Science Weekly every Monday. Guardian Unlimited.